Ben Damon here, the fight caller at Main Event. Really looking forward to a chat with the Armchair Champions.
Welcome to the Armchair Champions podcast, your midweek sports fix and barroom banter with your hosts, Captain, Crackers, Sheriff, Unit and Viper.
G'day, champions, and welcome to another episode of your midweek sports fix. We are the Armchair Champions. Champions, we've got another good guest coming on today. We have not disappointed. And off the back of the big fight just a couple of weeks back with Tim Zhu and Mr. Harrison, we're going to get Ben Damon, the voice of boxing, the commentator extraordinaire, who's making some bloody good inroads there with the sport. He's coming on for a chat. So really looking forward to having a bit of a chat with Ben. But before we do that, champions, as always, let's get straight into it and introduce the panel for today. Thanks to Stanson and Taylor Real Estate. Sheriff, welcome back, buddy. How's that eggshell going, mate?
Oh, the eggshell's great. Yeah, no Ponga for a little while. We don't know when we'll see him again.
Someone's ponging there at Newcastle.
Yeah, nicely done. No, they were a little better this week.
Yeah, they were, actually.
Yeah, Tyson Gamble looks really good, so paired with Jackson Hastings. Nice to get a win on the board.
Yeah.
We can talk about that later, but howdy, champions.
Very good, very good. All right, let's get into another bloke who'll be smiling too because he's beaten the old foe, the old enemy. Welcome, Viper. How are you, mate?
I'm great, everybody. It's good to be here, and especially when the Roosters belt south.
Yes, and I suppose straight off the top of the show, we should send our condolences to friend of the show, Scott Sattler, who lost his father yesterday. Johnny Sattler, a legend of the sport, did a lot, won four premierships, and is well known for playing a grand final with a broken jaw for about 70-odd minutes. You don't get much tougher than that. I know we'll never see it again, but Scott and the family, we do, sincerely, send our condolences. So, yeah,
best wishes and rest in peace.
That's for sure. He's definitely a legend, that bloke.
Absolutely. That's one good rabbit.
All right. Well, I'll be your captain, so let's get this one started. All right. Now, thanks to Taylor & Co. Legal, it's time to importantly hand out the Jordan half moments for the week. Jesus, there's been a few Jordans around. There's been a couple of halves too, which have been pretty interesting. So let's rip it straight in, Sheriff. Who's your Jordan, mate?
Well, I'm going to take a leaf out of your book and do some irrelevant shit that has nothing to do with a sports podcast.
I love it.
I went to My Chemical Romance, supported by Jimmy Eat World last night.
One of my favourite bands.
Two of my favourite bands. Jimmy are actually my favourite band.
Really?
They were fantastic opening for MCR.
Yep.
There were two things. MCR were brilliant as usual, but Gerard Way came out. He had the vampire eyeballs and blood dripping down one side of his face.
Really?
With a skirt and high heels. It was kooky, man.
So he's sort of looking like a bit like Marilyn Manson?
I don't know what he was doing.
He's got all his ribs?
And he talks way different to how he used to talk. I mean, I won't get into it because it's probably a bit political and I'm a bit old-fashioned like that. So, but the show they put on was pretty special. So
would have been good to see.
That's my non-sport Jordan.
I like it.
But my other my sports Jordan, to bring us back on topic, Super Netball started last weekend.
It did.
And the two, I suppose, the heavier favourites of the competition, the Fever and the Vixens,
went head to head.
Oh, it was game of the week. 62-61, the Fever knocked them off.
How good.
But a brilliant game. All the games were good to watch, and it was just good to see the girls back on the court and everything. But that game was particularly brilliant, and I think you'll probably, along with, I'm a Swifts fan, so.
I was about to bring them up because we did have Paige on when you were overseas.
Friend of the podcast, Paige. Yes. And we've also had Maddie Proud.
We did give her a little warning, though, before this game against the Magpies. Don't go partying with them.
Yep.
I think she might have gone partying before the game because, they got beaten.
Yeah, they got a bit pecked. But look, I think they'll still be contenders this year.
Oh, for sure. Great team.
But my Jordan for the week is that game, the Fever Vixens game. Both teams gave it everything and it was a brilliant game to watch. So
Nice one.
Well done to the ladies. Viper, what do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to go with the Panthers. For my Jordan.
The Panthers?
Yeah, the Panthers.
Hang on.
And this isn't actually about football directly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They've just been away for a little camp down the south coast.
Yeah, Kiama. Yeah, we saw all Kiama, that. Yeah, yeah, nice.
And the place that they stayed at, the a branch of the New South Wales Police Force was also staying at that resort.
Okay.
Yeah, and a spokesman.
That would have shortened a few of them up. Well, put them on notice.
Well, maybe they were on notice, I don't know. But a spokesman for the police came out and said they were the most well-behaved, most likeable bunch of young men.
Yeah, right.
That they've done the sport proud.
Yep.
And they've got around talking to the people that were staying in the area. And I think everybody was just super impressed with a football team
behaving
themselves and not carrying on like a bunch of Looney Tune pork chops.
Oh, how good! Yep.
And I thought, well, that deserves a Jordan. I reckon they've just done the whole team proud.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And the code.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Yeah,
very good. Well done, boys.
What about you, Captain?
All right, well, I've got to give a shout-out to Unit. He's on a cruise with Big Harvey, Brokeback Mountain.
Has he ever been on a cruise before?
No, he hasn't, so it's going to be funny. I want to see which one limps off first because they're sharing a room.
Hope he gets seasick.
Oh, I've got no doubt he'll be crook as a dog right now. But anyway, his beloved Sydney Kings went back-to-back in the NBL over the weekend and beat the New Zealand Breakers.
Mm.
So it was a bloody good win. I watched the game and it went up and down for a while there, probably a bit like Scott and Harvey on the boat. But, look, the Kings came away with it. It was a pretty comprehensive win in the end. Good to see the Kings get up, do back-to-back, and they've done what the Panthers did, went back-to-back. So congratulations to the Sydney Kings, or as I like to call them, the Kinkies.
Yep.
And, let's see what happens next year. So they've lost their star player. He's gone over to join the Washington Wizards for 2 years. So interesting to see what Xavier does over there. But, he's a talented kid. So let's hope all ends well there. All right, now let's get into the Derek Awards. And as I mentioned before, Ben Damon coming up very shortly. Big boxing chat coming up. Sheriff, mate, speaking of boxing, what's going on, mate? Who is the... I said
we're
Derek
back
before,
to
didn't I?
Yeah,
that's a half.
That's okay.
That's a half award.
No, this could be a half or a Derek, so we can hang with that.
Well, who was hungover as fuck?
Well, like I said, I don't know if he was half or Derek, but maybe both.
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz, the tight end for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's a busy time at the moment. It's free agent season, so there's plenty happening. There's a lot of transfers around, players switching teams and whatnot. And Dalton Schultz has been one of the better tight ends in the competition.
Yeah.
And he knocked back a 3-year, $36 million offer from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And today signed with the Houston Texans.
Oh, why would you do that?
A 1-year deal for $9
million. Shh.
Why would you get the Texans? Now, I failed 3-unit maths in high school, but it was 3-unit maths, and it was mainly because Daniel Gregory would kick my chair out from under me every day.
Look what he's gone on to do.
Push my pencil case off the desk.
Is it bright spark these days?
Smart safe electrical. Get on board. but my maths tells me that 3 years, $36 million is $12 million a year. In a competing, contending team with a host of stars.
To go to a nothing.
To go to a bottom-dwelling, rebuilding team for $9 million for 1 year only.
A bit weird.
That's a head-scratcher. Now, I can't call him half, and I can't necessarily call him Derek because I don't know what motivated the guy to do this, and I don't know what clauses were and weren't in each of the contracts that made it attractive to...
I've got plenty of words for him.
...to take less money on a shitter team. And it's not as though he moved to, a sexy town, Like, he didn't leave Dallas to go to Vegas or Miami or something. He's left Dallas to go to Houston.
Texas.
So, really scratching my bald head at this one. But good luck to you, Dalton. You're Derek.
Yeah, you have.
And he's got $9 million though, so it's more. That's about nine point. Oh no, sorry.
Yeah,
there's my bad maths again. That's $9 million more than I've got.
Oh, outstanding. All right, what about you, Viper, mate? What's your half for the moment? Who was hungover as fuck?
Well, I reckon New South Wales Sheffield Shield team, they're pretty fucked at the moment.
Like, is the cricket still on?
No, well, it's over for them. You know, like they didn't win a game this season.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I think it might be only the second time in living memory that they haven't won a game all season. And they're supposed to be, you know, New South Wales is supposed to be the heart and soul of Australian cricket.
Yeah.
And a strong New South Wales side is always, you know, a strong Australian side. And a lot of the Australian team are New South Welshmen.
Yeah.
So something's badly wrong with cricket in New South Wales.
We used to be a powerhouse. Back in the day, we had all the players.
We did. And
produced them all.
Yeah, we were producing the players for the Australian side, and the Sheffield Shield side was still strong. So I don't know. Something's gone amiss.
Yeah.
And they need to have a real hard look at it and figure out what it is, because it wasn't any good this year.
Yeah, no, that's true.
What about you, Captain?
If anyone's listening, I am prepared to put the spikes on and throw some 60-kilometre-an-hour thunderbolts down. That helps.
A couple of bounces, you'll be all right.
Yeah, that's not scaring anyone.
Aim them high. Six. What's going wrong, Sheriff? Spikes are blunt.
Sorry, I interrupted. What do you got for us, Kevin? Who's your Derek?
Look, it's got to be the AFL players who have just realised it's only round one, but thought they'd go off and take people's heads off in round one. You've got a long season, boys. I don't know why you'd think that going after people's heads with shoulders and things like that and jump off the ground to do so was a good idea, especially with all the controversy lately, all the head knocks in both AFL and NRL and other sports. They're making a big deal about it. Protect the players. And you're getting these buffheads going doing it.
And hasn't the first lawsuit been brought against the AFL?
Yeah, exactly.
Like in the last week or two?
Yep. So these guys thought, what a great opportunity to go do something like that again.
Well, why would Buddy line up that bloody the guy with his shoulder?
I couldn't understand it. There was a nothing here. Why do that?
Yeah. You know, like, but you could see him physically line the bloke up. And
from a mile away. I think he's got one week. He's only got one for that. And he's lucky with his history, because he does that a bit.
Well, maybe he knew he had a sore leg or something.
I was about to say that. Yeah. Maybe he's got a niggling injury that he needs a couple of weeks off.
Needs a couple of weeks. I'll just give someone a bit of a head whack.
But, it wasn't a good look, that's for sure. I just thought, you know, for week one, your big lawsuit's just been hit against the AFL, and you've got three players with nasty-looking bloody headshots.
Oh, that was just too dumb for words. And, he played well. He had a good game.
Yeah.
And it's only the first game of the season, and
it was not needed. It was against the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah.
Toughen up. Yeah. Oh, you flogged them, but still, come on, man.
At least good luck to the guy he hit. He jumped up and played the rest of the game out. So like he copped it.
He might not remember it, but he got up and played.
No.
All right, champions, now at the start of the podcast, I did mention that we've got a special guest coming on, and I'll tell you what, this guy has made a name for himself very quickly and very well in calling the boxing in Australia. And if any of you did see the Zoo versus Harrison fight last week, he was the main man, he was the caller, and what an atmosphere and experience that would have been. Let's get him on for a chat. Welcome to the Armchair Champions, Ben Damon.
G'day, fellas. Great to be on the show. Thanks so much for having me. You mentioned that Tim Zoo, Tony Harrison fight, still getting over that. It was an absolute buzz, a fantastic atmosphere, and a great performance by Tim Zoo as well. Enjoyed the build-up. Tony Harrison, one of the best blokes I've ever met in boxing, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
But he got battered by Tim Zoo, which is ideal for Australian boxing. So it was quite a day.
When you saw him come out with all the flashy sort of pink stuff and the sunglasses on, you sort of thought, okay, this guy's a showman. He's got something to prove. But I'll tell you what, no wonder he's wearing sunnies and all that, because Timmy dead set knocked the fucking lights out of him.
Yeah, no, he went to a new level, Tim Zhu. But, yeah. Harrison in the build-up, he was great. I went over and interviewed him in New York to start the build-up, and he's just an entertainer. He's such a character. And then we did a few bits and pieces once he arrived, and obviously press conferences and weigh-ins and all that sort of stuff. And he just knows how to sell a fight. But Tim Zhu, he is on a different path. He just keeps getting better. And the ruthlessness that he showed against the former world champion Tony Harrison just showed that he truly belongs at the top level, and that's exactly where he is, because Jermell Charlo is next, and I think Charlo probably went from thinking, oh, I've got this bloke covered, to thinking, oh, I better work pretty hard because this is a serious fighter who's coming to visit.
Yeah. So, Tim Zhu, what can you say is in the future for Tim? Like, how good can he be? Can he stand up to his dad?
Well, that's the comparison that's always going to be made, isn't it? Whether he can get to the level of his dad, or if he can overtake his dad, or if he falls short. But if he were to win against Jermell Charlo with all of the belts on the line, winning the undisputed world title at super welterweight, a very competitive division, one of the top divisions in the sport, and he were to do so in a fight in America so early in his career when he's still undefeated, he would have claims to try and say that he's done something at least very similar to his father, who was undisputed in the three belt era. So I think that he'll be happy with comparisons if he were to win that fight. And if he were to win, there's every case to be made that that's the biggest win ever by an Australian boxer in any fight. Lionel Rose fighting Harada is sort of the one that is at the top of the tree because of the way that he did it, and how big it was, and the fact that he traveled to Japan.
Yeah.
But an undisputed world title for a star like Tim Zhu in a fight like that against a fighter like Charlo, he's right at the very, very top of the tree in terms of all-time performances by an Aussie. But he's got to win the fight before we even bother talking about any of that.
Now, for the novices out there who aren't really much into boxing, but they also know that George Kambosos recently won a stack of belts against Lopez over in America. How does that compare in what Tim's doing compared to what George had done?
Yeah, George won a unified version of the world title. So he won three of the four belts. And then he and Devin Haney contested the undisputed title at lightweight. Lightweight's probably the glamour division at the moment in global boxing. So what Kambosos managed to do in that huge upset victory against Teofimo Lopez is was truly significant, a really big performance, and just great for him and his stature in global boxing. You don't like to line up achievements of this sort, but certainly both of them, should Tim, of course, win all of those belts against Jermell Charlo, will have done something really, really significant. George Kambosos was a massive outsider. He had to climb off the canvas and win that fight.
Yep.
Tim Zhu will be a significant outsider, you would think, against Jermell Charlo. And we just have to wait and see what Tim is able to do in that fight.
We haven't seen Tim get knocked down too often either. So he holds his own. And just when you think the other fighter starts getting a bit of a sniff and a bit of an upper hand, Tim just turns it up another level. Like,
He's only been dropped twice early on against Wade Ryan in his career, when he went down in the first round, climbed straight up and won on points. And then in his American debut in March of last year against Tyrell Gachet, when he was dropped in the first round again and came back and absolutely battered Tyrell Gachet to win that on points as well. But against Tony Harrison, it was a more ruthless, a more professional and a better Tim Zhu, really. Yeah. He just seemed to really pick up the level of everything that he was doing, and he did just have Harrison camped on the ropes, relying on a jab, a beautiful jab, but relying on a jab throughout that fight.
He looked focused. He looked like he knew what he was doing. He was lying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he certainly knew what he was doing. He had a plan, and he executed it perfectly. So it was something else from Tim Zhu, and we just wait and see if he can continue to improve, because if he can, he's going to be something else.
It's going to be unstoppable.
Ben, it's the sheriff here. I don't know if you've listened to too many episodes, but I'm the very serious one on this podcast. So
here we go.
Look, you came out like a bull out of gate there, swinging, and you've thrown out the
the euphemisms and the energy. I like what you're doing there. So if Main Event ever punts you, you just come see the sheriff. We'll have a job for you on this podcast.
Oh, for sure.
But, mate, your knowledge, your boxing knowledge there, just standing back and listening and appreciating listening to your talk there, I'm wondering, is there a fight, like a dream fight that you would like to call?
Can I go back in history?
Or of course, anyone, mate. Anyone you like.
Go for it.
Well, I'd just love to call Ali. I'd love to call Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, any of them. Oh, God, Muhammad Ali and George Foreman in the Rumble in the Jungle. Ooh, I tell you, I would actually really love to go back and to call Jeff Fenech and Azuma Nelson 1 in Las Vegas. Because on that card as well, I assume I get to call the whole card. I'd get to call a Mike Tyson fight.
Yes.
But also I'd get to call such a significant fight in Australian boxing history, an agonising one, because they rorted him, rorted him and gave the draw. But it'd be a really special moment to have been a part of in Australian boxing history. But if I'm looking forward, then it's got to be Tim Zhu against Jermell Charlo. All the belts in Las Vegas. Well, we assume it's going to be in Las Vegas. An undisputed world title fight, and to be ringside, as I will be if it goes ahead, and calling the action, will be something really and truly exceptional. We were meant to do it in January with Zhu and Charlo all booked, but on Christmas Day the messages and the emails came through that it was all off because of the busted hand. But broken, if we go again, that'd be a dream.
Mate, super answer, but I'm very surprised you didn't say Rocky and Apollo Creed.
Look at you. Yeah, well, that
it could have been a lucrative one, I guess, because you would have been getting paid by movie networks rather than TV stations. So, we'll wait and see.
We'll take the other one.
But a great fight regardless.
So Ben, when Zhu fights Charmelo, how would you, if you were training him, how would you expect him to go into the fight with what sort of tactics?
Mate, if I'm training him, he's in strife because we're going to take a lot of days off. We're heading to the pub right now. Actually, he's changing his diet dramatically. We're having a schnitzel. So he's cactus if I'm training him. But Igor Golubev trains him. That is his uncle and his trainer. They will be working ridiculously. So the way that Tim trains, I did watch a full session about a week and a half out from the Harrison fight. He did 2.5 hours. And it's all old school stuff. I was very privileged to train in the same gym as Kostyuzu when I was a kid, and got to watch what he used to do, the old school boxing methods, a lot of Russian amateur style training stuff that he used to do, and Tim does almost all of it as well. So it's a lot of stuff just working on specifically his power, one-handed throwing of heavy balls and balance and eye coordination and all that sort of stuff, and a lot of things that are just working really specifically on elements of his boxing. So he'll be training incredibly hard. He's going to be doing sessions like what I saw him do pretty much every day, with maybe rest days on Sundays. And then tactically, well, he's got to look out for the power of Charlo, because if there's any criticism on what Tim Zhu has done in his last few fights, it is that he does get hit a little bit too much. And against someone like Charlo, who has huge power, you don't want to be getting hit at all. So I would imagine head movement's going to be a priority, but also that swarming pressure and continuing to throw with the same sort of devastating power that Tim Zhu has is going to be really central to any sort of plan that is going to cause an upset and win that fight for him. But he's got a while to figure it out. We don't even have a date just yet, but he'll be working extremely hard already. I think he's had his little holiday, and I'm sure that he's back into it.
It's Sheriff again, mate. You've just kind of leaned in and suckered my jab that's coming your way. You unintentionally led me to this question, but I'm going to keep probing. We want to know about Ben Damon. You know, like where did you start with this passion of boxing? You just mentioned you trained with Kostyuzu in the gym.
Yeah.
That's highly interesting, but obviously like a passion over a long period of time.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's been a sport that I've loved forever. I don't know how long this show goes for, but I can tell you the formative story of me arriving in the sport was I was a young bloke in the inner west of Sydney with a couple of mates looking to find a pub we could watch through the window of, because Mike Tyson was making his return against Peter McNeely. So we were just looking for somewhere on a Sunday that we could watch the fight. So we found ourselves outside a pub in Glebe, and the door opened, and the gentleman who said, "Come on in," was former light heavyweight champion of the world, Jeff Harding.
Oh, really?
So the hitman said, "Come on in, boys, watch the fight." So myself and two mates did watch, and I knew everything about Jeff Harding's career at this point. I was already, into sport very heavily. I was obsessed with boxing and horse racing and little else. So I watched the fights, and Jeff Harding, who was pretty heavily on the piss at the time, but and he did find himself doing that quite a bit until he dropped the bottle altogether. He said afterwards, "Why don't you go down and do some training with Johnny Lewis, my trainer, who was sort of wrapping up with at that point." And I said, "All right, well, I will." So he gave me his number. And I walked into Newtown Police Boys the next day on the Monday, and Johnny Lewis was standing there with the coppers behind the Newtown Police Boys counter and eating a hamburger. And he said, "What are you doing here, son?" And I said, "Jeff Harding told me to come down." He goes, "Oh, did he, son?" And he said, "Well, we're training in an hour and a half if you want to come back." So I called his bluff and I went back and was very fortunate to train in that gym for 7 or 8 years, and was able to train alongside the likes of Kostya Zhu and, Fennec, who I'm now very firm friends with, was wrapped up at that point but was still about. And so many others who, provided, a bit of inspiration and interest in boxing. I never thought about, embarking on a professional career or anything myself, but I got into the media, worked in mainstream TV and did various other bits and pieces along the way. And inevitably I was going to find my way back to boxing, and, I've been calling the fights on Main Event now since 2009. So there's the basic story.
Fantastic. And did you ever take a punch from anyone so famous, and what did it feel like?
Did I ever take a punch from anyone? Yeah, plenty of people. Yes, I certainly did.
Give us a big name. Who hits the hardest?
I never sparred with Kostya or anything, if that's what you're thinking, because wouldn't be talking to you now, I don't think. I was only I was only 13, so it wouldn't have been much chop at that point. But I moved around with some back in the day, but geez, no one of that significance. I was never going to set the world alight inside the rope, so I just I got about trying to do my best outside.
Now, you've done plenty of gigs with presenting sports and doing the sports and news and things like that, and you've mentioned your love for racing and also boxing. What other sports do you get into? Like when you sort of knock off and, okay, enough boxing for now, what other sport do you get into, and who do you follow in, like, rugby league, AFL? Are you in the NBA or NFL? Like, what's your passion besides boxing?
I certainly used to be right into the rugby league. Worked in it for quite a while as well, and I've done other bits and pieces with various sports. Have been fortunate enough to host Olympic Games and things like that. But mainly the boxing and the racing, to be perfectly honest. Racing of any description. That's my passion outside of what I do for a living. But I'm very fortunate in that what I do for a living is watch the fights in some capacity or another, and then either plot the next one or talk about what's happened. So I'm able to do that and really enjoy it. So I'll watch all of the fights anyway. So I watch them from all around the world, and have a bet on the horses or the dogs or whatever else is going about. But if I'm in a pub and there's a footy game on, I'll watch it with mates at any point. But
who's your team?
My primary passions are those others.
Who's your team?
I went for the Dragons throughout the majority of my life, and got my opportunity to see them win a grand final in 2010, which was a really satisfying moment after a bunch of near misses. I did cry, I think, in 92, 93, 96 and 99. So to see him finally win in 2010 was a good result.
It could have been worse. You could have been a Parramatta supporter.
You'd still be crying.
You'd still be waiting for a win.
Yeah, very true. Very true. So, yeah, they've had a rough trot. But Jeff Fenwick's a Parramatta supporter. And,
he is.
Yeah, he keeps taking the blows.
So did you back the winner of the slipper?
No, I didn't back Shinzo. I would have liked to, but I just couldn't find it. But I saw a video a couple of days later where Tommy Berry got off Shinzo after a bit of work and said, this is one of the best horses, maybe the best colt I've ever got a leg over. So if I'd seen that on race morning, perhaps I would have. But no, I missed out this time in the slipper, but doesn't matter. There's more races on this weekend.
Tommy Berry's a very good friend of the show here at the Armchair Champions.
He's a top bloke.
Yeah. Excellent bloke.
He is a good fella. He's having a little rest at the moment, but he'll be back bigger and better very shortly. He's a good fella.
Can I ask you one thing? There used to be a show, the Contender Series.
Yes.
And it was very big in Australia with Australian talent and boxing. It hasn't been on the screens for a while. And with the resurgence of Australian boxing and a talent coming through it, do you reckon it's time to maybe bring it back and would you and Jeff do it? Because I reckon you guys would kill it. You'd be mad at it.
Yeah, so we the original Contender Series was won by a good friend of mine, Garth Wood, who then went on and beat another friend of mine, Anthony Mundine, in the pay-per-view that was the prize of it. I was lucky enough to work on that series. The godfather of television, the head of Foxtel, Brian Walsh, who passed away last week, got me a gig working on that show, and it was very successful at the time. It was a big production on Fox 8 and really well promoted, and ever since, there's been so many people who've said, why don't we do it again? Let's try and do it again, and it nearly got up. It's nearly got up twice now. I've been involved both times, and once probably about, when would it have been? A couple of years ago, it was up. We thought it was up, but it fell over again. So it's just it's just networks having TV networks cry poor. That's what they do, you know. They say they've got no money.
Trying to skimp it.
I'm sure they're doing fine, but it's almost got up a few times, and maybe it will again one day in some capacity. But it's got back up in the US and had some success. So yeah, I'd love for it to get up again at some stage over here. And you wouldn't need to ask Fenwick twice; he'd be on board. So maybe one day we'd love to do it.
You always see overseas with the Ultimate Fighting Challenge and things like that. It just goes from success to success. Ratings are killing it. You know, they bring two superstars in as coaches who are going to end up fighting each other. Great concept, that sort of stuff. I think, Australian TV and Australian boxing for sure is prime for that to be lifted again. So keep going with whatever you do, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it'd be great. It's. I think boxing is in the best spot it's ever been in this country. So we're primed for any sort of shoulder programming that anyone wanted to get rolling. It's flying at the moment.
So Ben, it's Viper here, and I got it.
Jeez, how many of you are there?
There's three of us.
There's only three of us.
Okay.
There's the captain, sheriff, and Viper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something straight out of bloody top down.
No, I've got to know. Like, what's your take on the footballers fighting each other, and they're fighting for big money? You know, like that most of the genuine boxers can't get paid. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, it's really a supply and demand thing. So when you've got those people who come into boxing having some sort of profile from some other pursuit, whether it is football or whatever else it might be, then they've got a rusted on audience. There are people who want to see the outcome of that fight. They may not be your normal boxing crowd. They might be more of a mainstream audience.
Yeah, so. True. Yeah.
if people want to pay for it, then promoters are going to put it on and networks are going to show it. So really it comes down to the fact that those people have managed to enhance the amount of people who know who they are and are interested in the fortunes of them having a fight. So, I don't really see that the footy players going to boxing takes away from genuine boxers. It's more just that genuine boxers and boxing needs to sell itself better and to gain itself more eyeballs and thus more interest in its big events. No footy player switching across gets the sort of eyeballs that, say, Tim Zhu and the mainstream boxers do that really and truly make it in real boxing. But at the next couple of levels down, a lot of the interest is in those sorts of guys who switch over and have a crack at it sort of on the side or as an afterthought. So, yeah, if people are going to pay for it, then people are going to put it on. It's just the facts of the matter when you're working in a business that is, like all of them, run by money and audiences.
I'll tell you what, after seeing Pangai Junior's fight last, that bloke's still picking himself up off the canvas. I'd pay to watch that again. I'm just quietly. I'd love to see it. And I'm a Bulldogs fan, so I'm a bit biased. But Pangai Junior, oh, jeez, rock that bloke.
Yeah, he seemed to have some natural ability for sure. There's been both versions over the years with blokes who did have a lot of natural ability or who had really prepared themselves to get in and have a go post-footy or as well as footy, and there's been others who have turned up with no idea whatsoever. Both versions can be really entertaining. So, it's going to continue, I'm sure, because people are going to keep watching it and paying for it.
One last thing before we wrap it up, because I know your time is precious. Two things.
Sheriff's. Yeah, I'm
Ben Damon gets to see a lot of fights ringside, a lot of young talent coming through. Have you got a young prospect that the punters here at the Armchair Champions should be looking at to say, mate, this kid's got it? Keep an eye on this one. He's got a future.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty at the moment in Australian boxing. I was just at a gym today watching Hass Hamden, who is the son of Nader Hamden, for world titles. And he's only pretty new in his professional career, but he's certainly one to watch. He's fighting at super lightweight at the moment. He's a training partner of Brock Jarvis. He's got Jeff Fennec in his corner. He's a young fellow who seems to have the right attitude and it could certainly be going places, but it's a cluttered field at the moment in Australian boxing. There's so many young stars on the rise. There's so many early in their careers, and it's going to be a very, very exciting little period as well. And it's almost at the point where a lot of these boxers, whereas previously they'd be making their debuts on club shows or they'd be in obscurity for quite some time, now because of the eyeballs on boxing in this country, some of these guys have only had three or four fights are already household names. So, there's a lot of exposure. There's a lot to go around, and we're in a good spot.
One quick thing too before we do wrap it up. When you're calling fights, do you have any of the fighters that you've called come back and go, mate, you really fucking stitched me up that one. You're a prick and all that sort of stuff. Like, have you ever had anyone go at you for the way you've called it?
You occasionally get criticism, but, you know, so does everyone in boxing. It's the nature of the sport. I don't worry too much. I know that every time I call a fight, I'm calling it off its merits.
Yeah.
And
you're always fair, yeah.
I would never go in with any bias or such. But yeah, God, you call as many fights as what I do. Of course, you're going to have some who see it one way or another. There's trolls and a lot of negative people through social media. You certainly don't read the comments, but I don't worry too much about any of that. I know what I'm doing, and to have the respect of your peers in an industry like this is really important. And to see the way that the sport's growing and just to shine a positive light on boxing in this country is really important to me, because it's a sport that can be mistreated at times. It's a sport that sometimes isn't considered those who are presenting its number one sport. And for me, it most certainly is. It's the sport I want to be calling. It's the sport I want to be shining a light on in this country. So, yeah, if you get a few people having a crack at you, then I'm not too worried about that. That comes with being a human being, really. So I think we're doing all right at the moment.
And you just say, hey, Jeff Fenwick's my mate, deal with it.
So
what's
so
that, mate?
You just say, hey, Jeff Fenwick's my mate, so deal with it.
Yeah, true. Ben, well, he probably gets – people have a crack at him about everything every day.
True.
he's pretty good with all that stuff. And, yeah, he doesn't worry too much about the tall poppy syndrome that's followed him for so long. So, yeah, he's probably a good person to take lessons in all that stuff from.
So just one last question, Ben, before we let you go. Is there anybody – that has got in the ring and you've been calling the fight and you've thought, I hope somebody, the bloke in the other side knocks you out. You are a prick.
I see if he's got to admit to that.
Yeah, secretly, I'm not gonna, he has. I can't think of any occasion where I've felt so strongly one way or another. I tell you though, when I've been. Think of a few. Yeah. When I haven't called this bloke's fights, but I did deal with him when I was making I made a documentary about Sakio Bika, the former WBC super middleweight champion of the world, Cameroonian-born Australian, great bloke. He fought against a fella named Anthony Durrell, an American who just was awful to him in the build-up and said the most unpleasant, despicable thing. So, after Sakio's dealings with him, I did see Anthony Durrell just last year get knocked out brutally by Caleb Plant, the knockout of the year in international boxing.
That's it. Yep.
And while I don't wish any harm on any boxer and I admire everything they do and in their careers in providing entertainment and getting in the ring and showing that courage, he had it coming. Absolutely no doubt about that. And if you look up the knockout, you'll see the ferocity of what occurred, and it was all justified.
Very good. Ben, you've been an absolute pleasure to talk to. Thank you very much for coming on the Armchair Champions.
It's been a great chat.
Mate, what a specimen. I love listening to you, and I'll be certainly tuning in the future. So, no, wish you all the best, and thank you for your time.
Looking forward to overseas too with the Tim Zoo fight for the belt.
Yeah,
a bit going on. Really busy time in Australian boxing. We've got two Maloney brothers about to fight for world titles as well.
They're good friends of the show too, yeah.
Good fellas. Yeah, Jai Patara will be defending his cruiserweight world title soon. Shanika Johnson's defending her world title on a big show headlined by Katie Taylor in Ireland. Dennis Hogan's got a version of a world title he'll be defending on that same show. And Ebony Bridges as well. She'll be back in the ring defending her world title sometime towards the end of the year. And plenty of others. So it's a huge time in Australian boxing. Great to chat. Thanks for your time, fellas, as well. And chat to you again soon.
Not a problem. Once again, thank you, Ben Damon.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, now thanks to National Locksmiths. Let's talk a little bit of NRL. We haven't been on for 2 weeks, so round 2 and 3 have been spectacular. And I'll tell you what, if you got more than 5 tips right in round 2, I don't believe you. It was dead set out there, just like a good set with a bottle between them. Let's go into something about this week. There's some big games coming up. Sheriff, Panthers and Parramatta. It starts off this Thursday at Parra Stadium. Mr. I'll cop a fine instead of playing. Copping a suspension. He's back, Madison. So how do you like this one, boys? It's going to be a tough game because I know last time that it happened down there, they got the better of the Panthers.
Well,
what big game.
What would I know? I've got 5 right in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that stings. So 3-1 week.
Hey, I got 7 from 8 last round. I'm cheering.
I don't know what to make of this one because Penrith are coming off the bye. Para 0-3 and all over the place, but with, like you say, Madison returning. It's tough. I think Parramatta is going to be a bit more maybe match fit and ready and primed. Like, they need a win.
They did look all right against the Seagulls there for a bit.
They haven't looked trash at all.
Seagulls only just beat them, so
Yeah. Look, I think – I don't know. If I had to have a stab right now on a Tuesday, team lists have only just come out. I'd say Parra might have their nose in front.
And Crackers has let us know Brendan Hands has made his debut.
Yeah, right.
For Parramatta. So, friend of the show, Brendan Hands. I hope you have a good one, mate. All right, well, let's go into some big topics from last week's round. The head knocks is another one. Kaufusi with a late hit compared to some others that were a lot later hits and not getting suspended. There's a big sort of game this week between the Dolphins and the Broncos up there in Queensland. Kaufusi needs a play, I think, for them to win. He's a big player. Had a bit of a quiet game last week. But, yeah, what do you reckon, boys? Dolphins 3-0, they're looking good. Broncos, the same.
Well, it's 1v2
yeah.
on the table. How good. Who would have thought? You couldn't have put enough money on getting, you know, the Dolphins not being anywhere near it. I just think Brisbane are a little bit more polished. I think the Dolphins, they've been made ready and they've probably got that bit of mongrel been put into them because of the doubters and
the Wayne Bennett effect.
And I think everyone's expecting the Dolphins eventually are going to have to fade. If it's going to happen, well, it will happen, but I think this is probably the week. Big brother's coming.
Big brother's watching. Yeah,
I don't know. I saw a story today where Wayne Bennett claims he's already in the Broncos' heads, you know, like he's he's calling the shots. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but full credit to them for what they've done so far. You know, like nobody could have predicted where they'd be at the moment.
They're stacked with young talent in the back line, and the right players are firing at the right times. Like Hamaso,
Cowboys, yeah,
Tabawai Fido, he's been great so far.
Yeah.
Tezzy New, really good.
He's been good. Yep.
Yeah, so I think they're a chance, but I like Brisbane. I think Brisbane
do it.
Yeah.
I think this sort of puts the sword to them, and they'll start probably losing a few from here, the old Dolphins, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Honeymoon period might be over.
I don't think they'll lose by a lot, though, you know. Like, you got half the Melbourne pack.
Yeah, true.
Is in their pack, you know. Like, two...
they bring a lot of experience, don't they?
Two Bromwiches and a Kaufusi, but Kaufusi's not there, but...
Mm. Well, he might be. He's fighting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see him get off. But, you know, like the way they've been playing.
Yeah, shadow box in the corner.
Sponsored by KFC.
It's just sensational.
Speaking of going off, Mitchy Barnett, unfortunately, friend of the show, had a bit of a crush happen to him.
Yeah.
We reached out to him during the week. How are you, champion? He's like, mate, a lot better. No serious damage to me, I'll be right.
Yep.
But the Warriors against the Cowboys, that was another big upset. That's the game I dropped for the round. But, wow, what a turn up from the Warriors. Like, they're looking okay.
That was one of six I dropped.
Is this sort of the effect from the Panthers coach going over to New Zealand? Like, look at what he's doing.
Yeah.
Serrato now, he's won 2 out of 3. Yeah, it was a bit scrappy for the Dogs in the end. Big lead early though.
Yeah.
But both of them are 2 out of 3.
Well, there's no room to write on the scoreboard how many draw pictures on how you got there, you know. Like, they've got the 2 points and that's that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go on to the Roosters and Rabbits game, Viper, because I tell you what, that was primed as a big payback from what happened last year with a certain broken cheekbone. I'll tell you what, the Rabbitohs did come out firing early.
They did. Like, I watched that game like I normally do, and I was getting pretty upset with our two speed humps in the halves.
You don't like them, do you?
Oh, no, I don't. I don't rate them. You know, like Keary and Walker, like individually they're both okay, good players, but, geez, they can't defend. Like, they said we'd missed 11 tackles by half time.
Shit.
Yeah. And Keary would have missed half of them and Walker the rest. You know, like somebody's either got to teach them to tackle or get them out of there.
Well, you've signed up Nathan Brown from the Eels, effective immediately.
Yeah.
Do you expect to see him this week?
No. No, I reckon.
Would you bring him in this week?
No. No, he hasn't had much footy yet.
But okay. Angus, what a good boy.
Angus Crichton's on the way back too from a mental health
issue. Yeah, he's been released from there, yeah.
Wish him well and all of that. But, you know, if he's back to...
Maybe he doesn't trip over.
Oh, look, if he's back to playing fit and being that defensive presence down one edge, that's going to help one of those fellas.
Yeah, but you can cover up for one. Yeah. How do you cover up for two of them? it's pretty hard to do. You know, like you can have a bodyguard run around behind your halfback or your 5/8, but when he's got to cover both of them, like nobody, no one can do that.
Mm.
The other good game too was the Sharks only just going down.
Yeah.
That was a thrilling bloody game too.
Well, they've got Nico back this week.
This week, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so I think we'll see a different Cronulla
different Sharks
with
outfit.
The ball in hand, yeah.
Yeah,
because Nico was...
Canberra looked good though. Like, they just knew what to do in the end there. And, I mean, Horsburgh got two tries. Mm. Shit stood a little bit, got a penalty, but...
Well, they needed
They were
win.
Two good tries.
They really needed a win. They were looking at none for three. And, they had to have a win this week.
Mm. The big thing this week, I suppose, we're going to look at is the Storm and Tigers. Now, Hughes is out suspended.
Mm.
Munster will come back in.
Yep.
It's come out in the media saying if the Storm lose this one, that's the biggest blight on the club's history.
Yeah.
How do you see that one?
Well, they only got to beat the Tigers, and they wouldn't beat a good A-grade side at the moment.
Oh, hang on. Oh, they got close to the Dogs, but we let them back in.
Yeah, for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
and Wakeham, look, Wakeham came on and he lit them up for a few minutes.
Against his old team.
Yeah, and good luck to him. And they've named him, I think, to start this week.
Well, they've named Dewey at fullback. So.
Yeah, they pushed Dewey back to fullback, but... Yeah, like they've still got Brooks. Yeah, like and Brooks has been the talking point of that team for the last 10 years. Yeah, you know, like
they pushed all their chips in on him. They let a lot of their stars walk to try and maintain his and other contracts.
Yep.
Like Andrew Fifita at the start of his career, and he went on to have a pretty stellar career.
Mm.
Tedesco.
Yeah.
Aaron Woods. Like there's a long list of players that have walked, and Luke Brooks has stayed.
Yeah.
But he's had his moments. He was actually very good last week.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
He had a good game.
A couple of good line breaks there.
Good scything runs, yeah.
Good backing up.
But I was chatting to a Tigers fan mate of mine, Nathan from Four Seasons Plumbing.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to
Top bloke.
He's a Tigers fan, and he's quietly confident this week in the Tigers getting the pickies against the Storm.
Yeah, right.
So it could be a sneaky. I might be on that.
Imagine that, Bellamy going one... From four.
Mm.
Oof.
Been a while since that's happened.
There'll be some chairs thrown, there'll be some spraying, there'll be some Windex on the windows. Mm-hmm. Oh, look out.
You wouldn't want to be in the dressing room afterwards,
would you? Oh, no, that's for sure. All right, champions, let's wrap it up. Once again, a big thank you to Ben Damon for coming on and having a chat all things boxing. Bloody good chat with Ben. And tell you what, you can tell he's a seasoned professional. He goes all right.
Oh, isn't he good on the chat?
Yeah.
He puts us to shame.
Shame for sure.
As vocalists. But
he's
like,
got the ultimate job. He is the armchair champion. He's the commentator.
Yeah, he's come from a sport-loving background and made it big. And he's doing what we probably all would love to do is call some sport. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say be like 2009 Cleo Bachelor of the Year finalist.
No. Yeah, I did that easy. Don't worry.
Well, he's got the background in the sport to understand it and know what's going on in detail.
Yeah, he knows the ins and outs for sure.
Yeah, and he knows all the right people. He's talking to all the people. He's
in the know, yeah.
Yeah.
Love the story about the pub and getting invited in to watch the fight.
But, from the hitman. Yeah. Wow.
But, mate, where was your fake ID, Ben? You should have just been in the pub already.
I think he was trying to get it. Hitman might have been pissed.
I think he said he was 13, so well played.
Yeah, very well played, yeah. But champions, once again, please follow us on all our social media. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Twitter. You can shout out to us on our website, www.armchairchampions.com.au. Our podcast is on most platforms out there now, so tell your friends.
Tell your mum.
And as Sheriff always says,
keep your balls between the lines. Thank you, champions.
Bye, everyone.